Money is meant to flow. Money is meant to be given and received. And every month we're going to spend money. And so I think to have more of an empowered relationship with money and how we spend it, what I have found is, looking at whether it's my bank statement and all my debits or the purchases, we really have, I think, three main categories.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the Going North Advancement Compass. This is a wonderful journal for you to track your goals daily, track your wins, boost your confidence, and advance to your next level. It is the destiny diary for your success. So pick it up via Amazon.com, and we'll put a link to where you can purchase it in the show notes. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, my friends. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. It's the era of returning guests, y'all. That's right indeed. So the lights are still on. So thanks so much to the folks who support the show and keep it going and growing north in more ways than one, because you're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat. And we'll go with seven times over indeed. Lucky seven, because today's guest is probably extremely lucky today, because she's a best-selling bookcaster, y'all. Not only is she a best-selling author, she also now is on both sides of the microphone. She hosts her own podcast too, y'all. So she does both. And not only that, she's also a lovely wife, a mom, an entrepreneur, visionary financial leader, and one of America's top financial advisors. So let's give it up for the jubilant and the wonderful champ herself, the one, the only, Julia Carlson. How you doing today, Julia?
Hello, Dom. I am doing great and so excited to be here interviewing with you today.
Oh, yeah. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Glad to have you back indeed. That's right indeed. It's been a few years and you've just 10x yourself ever since. I think it's been like pre-pandemic, maybe 5 years that you last been on the show.
Six years maybe. Lots changed. A lot has changed.
Heck yeah, that's right indeed. She took her fabulous meter from 10 out of 10 to 20 out of 10.
Let's see. There was a lot of peaks and valleys in those years, but coming out on top. So happy to be here.
That's right indeed. Happy to have you back. Well, you said peaks and valleys. So what was the valley like? Was the COVID time one of those major valleys where you had to fight off the hyenas and try to make it back to the peak?
I actually really appreciated the COVID experience because it slowed me down. It actually grounded me with my three kids, one of which has left the home and starting adult life. And so it was like this really special time to be with them. And I really appreciated it. And it actually allowed me to space to think about what do I want in life and how do I want to change things moving forward. And I think it was more the valley was on the other side of it, like trying to reinvent myself and not get sucked into the busy pace of life again. So a lot of learnings for me out of that.
Yeah, so I'm talking about indeed. She's like, yep. It's like bodybuilding, business building. It's like, oh, then there's mom life too. It's like, goodness, all these buckets. I can only carry like maybe two. I only got two arms here. Let me not try to be one of those Indian goddesses with like 10 arms. Let me just stick to my two.
Yes.
Yeah, but hey, definitely grounded indeed. You can say that again, because I was the good part about the big baddie of the pandemic era where things went topsy-turvy, but folks could Be grounded indeed. So is that what helped you to finally come out with, I guess, your second bigger, better, and more improved book, Money Loves You?
Yes, I actually started doing some meditation during that time and just really, again, looking inward of what kind of work do I want to put out to the world, and also learning from, gosh, I've been a financial advisor now for over 25 years, and like it's an incredible gift to take from clients of their experiences. And so being able to learn from them to see where they're at and how they've gotten there, and then be able to kind of take that wisdom and share it back to the people that maybe aren't there yet. And so, that was really the inspiration for this book. And it also has a lot of my insights and journeys. Actually, when it was ready to go live in April, I was kind of a little vulnerable, like, oh my gosh, I wrote a lot of personal stuff in here about my journey. And I remember my parents like, are you sure you want to write that in there and put it out to the world? I'm like, it's the truth. And I want to be authentic. And so, yes, I'm ready to do that, but not without, a little trepidation. But the response has been amazing. So I know what's out there is meant to be.
It's meant to be good indeed, because I freaking love it. Freaking love it. Your book is so well written indeed. It's not like so darn dense, like you're reading one of those random textbooks studying for like your doctoral degree in like finances or something. It's like down earth. You can easily read it. It flows. It's got activities and everything. It's freaking great.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, my pleasure indeed. Do you plan on doing the audiobook yourself too?
Speaking of, so I've been researching that, and I've looked at some AI tools. So do I dare say I could read one chapter and then allow it to do my whole book? I feel like maybe what would be missing from that is the soul of it and the delivering that experience for readers. But I also need to, I look out at my calendar. I'm like, okay, where can I take a week out of my life to do this? So I haven't come to a conclusion on that one yet.
Right, cool. Yep, I hear you. Yep, bring all the lemon juice, all the honey. Yep, that's right indeed. You're gonna need it. Take breaks if you have to. Don't beat yourself up too bad for reading the same sentence five times in a row. You can do it.
It sounds like you're speaking from experience.
Yeah, that's a freaking performance. I read my own books and I did one for a buddy, and the buddy's was longer than mine, and I'm like, wow, I know I can read and speak English here. I don't know why I keep having trouble with this one word, this one sentence. It's just no. Yes, indeed. It's a whole body experience. Speaking definitely from a performance standpoint, it's a whole body experience. So hey, name of
Yeah.
the game. Be ready. But hey, you're still fit, so you'll be fine.
Yes.
Oh man. So my goodness, so what inspired the title Money Loves You? Because a lot of folks will probably thinking, oh man, money's the root of all evil, bruh, but they forget the what the actual book actually says, and then it's like, oh, this is a play on it, kind of.
It is. And it's meant to trigger people too. So I would invite you, if this title triggers you, pick it up and read it. So it's meant to be a little spicy. It's interesting. I was actually doing a guided meditation and I saw it on a platter being given to me on a gold platter. Like I had this vision and the title was there. And I was like, oh my gosh, is that the title of the book? And sure enough, like I thought long and hard, a lot of people had a lot of opinions about it, but I really felt like this was what it was supposed to be. And the idea is that it's a strong perspective. And I think a lot of us have a negative perspective with money. And if you can hold the negative, then the idea is you can definitely hold the positive. And who do you think would be better with money? Someone that has money hates me or money loves me? And so it's playful, it's inviting, it's thought-provoking. And so I just really hope that people will lean into it. And I actually said it today to a client, money loves you. And it's just fun to see the expressions on people's faces. But it's also like, I want them to believe it. It's not just to say it, but to believe it. Because I feel like when we have mastery over money, and it almost becomes a non-issue, right? We know how to manage it. We're good stewards of it. It doesn't hold power over us. So that's the whole idea, is to examine, help people examine their relationship, their perspective with money, all of that through this book.
So I'm talking about indeed. So I'm talking about indeed. And it's a good thing that you went that route too, and it's a fresh route indeed, because there's like so many wonderful books about money and personal finance out there, but it's like you need something that is really something different. And the good news is the way the cover's designed, especially on a special edition with the gold foil, it's funny how you had that gold plate vision, and then out of nowhere, it's like money loves you, but the U is in gold. So it's like, yep, it's about you, buddy.
It is. Yeah.
That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Well, and speaking of money and love, usually it involves relationships. And funny enough, if I'm not mistaken, in the book, you mentioned how we have three relationships with our purchases and expenses, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, in the chapter about the anti-budget. So how many of us resist the word budget, right? I mean, just the thinking of budget is restriction, and I'm going to be told I can't spend money. But I think it can be so much different. So money is meant to flow. Money is meant to be given and received. And every month we're going to spend money. And so I think to have more of an empowered relationship with money and how we spend it, what I have found is, you know, looking at whether it's my bank statement and all my debits or the purchases, we really have, I think, three main categories. Number one is we look at our purchases and we have pure joy, or we should have pure joy. How do you have pure joy? I would say, like, my massage, I get a monthly massage. I love my massage. Like, when I am able to go out to dinner with my daughter that's now moved out, like, those are cherished times that I appreciate, and it's just joyful for me. When I know money is going into my retirement accounts or into our investment accounts, it's like that's cool to be able to, you know, build a part of our financial independence and our nest egg. And so joy is something we have to find every month. So I would encourage you to look at your expenses through the lens of what is bringing you joy. And it could be a coffee. You know, I don't know about you, but I can't stand the advice of don't spend money on coffee. Mm-hmm. For me, going to my little coffee shop, supporting a local business, I do it one day a week. I love it. It's like my office days. I go in on Wednesday, I get a really yummy coffee, and I love it. It brings me joy. But that may not be your thing. So we all have different things, but that's personal finance is personal. So find out what it is for you. Joy. We have to have joy. And then next, comfort. So this could be, if you have a mortgage, paying your mortgage payment because you're in the comfort of your own home. It could be electricity. It could be gas for your car. It could, all those kind of mundane expenses. Think about, this is allowing the lifestyle that I want to create for myself. It's comfort. So it's not a bad expense. It's just, it's actually giving you the lifestyle you desire. And then lastly is annoyance. So for me, and I have three kids, two that are home with lots of friends over, right? And so we spend a lot of money on food. And what annoys me is when I go to the store and I don't shop with my list. So now I use
ouch.
Now I use ClickList, which is like, okay, just bring my groceries out to me and I'll shop ahead of time. That's like, you save so much money doing that because you're not going through the store like, I don't know what was on my list. I'll have one of everything. And then you spend $400 and you're like, what did I buy? Right?
Right.
Like those are the thing, or, you know, a trip to Target and, you know, or Costco, and you have all this stuff in your cart and you're like, I didn't need any of this. And a month goes by, you see the charge and you're like, I don't even know what I spent money on. I'm annoyed. I'm just annoyed. Or it could be credit card interest that's annoying, or a debt payment. Like, we're all going to have different perspectives, but the idea is, how do you reduce the annoyance? How do you increase the joy? And oh yeah, your future self should be in that joy bucket. And what I mean by that is saving for your future and building financial security. I'll stop there. That was a lot.
Oh, it was a good a lot too, Sarah and D, because that section was really good, because I never heard of that perspective before about the three different relationships, and it all three of them make sense. It's like, all right, sweet joy. I still have joy to this day. It's like, all right, cool. I went ahead and went to Carrygrout and got a coffee maker at home. It's like, all right, cool. Beats the whole coffee argument thing, but still occasionally might go out anyway. And then it's like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, that part's so true. It's like, yep, forgot the list. It's like, oh, I think I'll be all right. And then afterwards, it's like, oh yeah, I don't think I'll be all right.
Especially with today's prices.
Yeah, it's like the hot air balloon is like five hot air balloons, but in one balloon. Oh my goodness. So my goodness, what was the most challenging part about putting this whole book together? Because I can tell you put a lot of work and heart into this.
Yeah, you know what the most challenging part was the cover. Well, you would not believe the angst and the concern I had with, like, is this the right cover? And it's interesting because when I saw, I probably had 8 designs from our creative team, and this one, the cover that it is was the one that popped out at me initially. But I think at that point in the journey, I was kind of fatigued in editing and formatting and all this stuff that I was like, you know what it was? I wrote about trusting yourself. There's a chapter in the book called Trust Yourself. And I was second guessing myself. And it was interesting because my publisher, who was amazing through this whole process, actually was able to put up a mirror and say, Julia, you're second guessing. You need to trust yourself. And this was the cover that originally spoke to you. And I was like, ah. So a lot of this book, the lessons in this book actually came back to me after I had written it, to kind of like test and push and, like, you know, really, like, I wrote it for me as much as I wrote it for the world. So it was, I would definitely say that was probably the hardest part, though. The cover, picking the cover art.
I hear you indeed. Definitely resonate with the two, because, yeah, especially when it comes to working with the publisher, might not have as much pull as you would like to have. And sometimes you may see him, it's like, oh man, is this all you got? And then sometimes, like, oh, this looks freaking great. And I don't know, it's like, yeah, does it really? It's like, maybe I should take these tired eyeglasses off and put on the well-rested glasses on. All right, cool. All right, here we are. I can trust myself again.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, dude. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. And another thing, if I'm not mistaken, you're actually a fellow Christian too, right?
I am, yes.
Yes,
I have a
baby.
Strong faith in God, and I'm just so grateful for the expansion of wisdom is how I feel. And I wrote most of this in 5 days. I wrote most of this book in 5 days, over 30,000 words. And so I just felt like it was poured down from the heavens for me and just inspired with how it all came together. And it's interesting because it's so different from my first book, because in my first book, it was more like, these are the steps you need to take to get there. This book is like, there are no wrong turns. Like, there's freedom is in the gray. It's in the middle. There's not a yes or a no. There's not a good and a bad. It's actually what's right for you. I've just seen when we put all of our, I don't know if it's like when we put all of our faith, when we rely on someone else for all the answers, it allows us to not do the work ourselves. And so this book is about discovering what's important to you financially, what's important to you about wealth and your financial future, and then helping you create those boundaries and making the right decisions for your financial future, not someone else telling you what to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about indeed. And heck, there may even be some faith-based folks, Christian folks out there who may be still uncomfortable about having money indeed. So any advice for them, especially in addition to picking up this magical book?
Really good. You know, I actually tell the parable in the book around if you're trusted with little and a good steward, you'll be trusted with much as a good steward. So it's like, allow God to do the work in your life and bless you. And I think good people with money are going to do amazing things in this world to help others. And so I feel like money just makes you more of who you are. And the book is not about loving money. That's what I want to make really clear. It's about receiving into your life. And I tell a story about like giving. I think as Christians, we grew up, give, give, give. God loves a cheerful giver. I remember that memory verse. And it's like, yes, giving is really important, but also is receiving. They go together. And a lot of times when we're giving, 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 we're control freaks. And actually receiving is allowing someone else to give. So imagine that gift that you can give to someone else of allowing you to receive. So yeah, I think that my hope is that it's just a different perspective. And again, money is a tool that allows us to do really good things in this world and make great impact.
Yeah, amen to that indeed. You're so right about that indeed, because it's true. It's right indeed. It's always good to have tools in your toolbox. If it's a toolbox, if no tools, then it's just a box.
Yeah.
That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So my goodness, how did you come to know Christ, Julia? Because I always invite Christians to share the testimony on the show.
Yeah, so my parents like gave me this amazing foundation. So I was raised Christian. I never doubted it. I never strayed from it. I love that I have this perspective that God is love and have a foundation built on that. And I think one of the byproducts of that is just not having a fear consciousness, right? And just having this unconditional love. Like there's lots of different denominations out there. And I think the common commonality of all of it is God and love. And that's definitely the light I want to be out there.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about. That's right indeed. That's right. And you have a bright light out there indeed. So my goodness, how does it play a role in your wonderful business? 20 plus years even. That's freaking amazing.
Yeah, I mean, we have very strong core values. And so we have over 20 employees now, and it's, you know, never compromise our integrity. treat all people with respect, embrace our team culture, because it's not about Julia, it's about the team, and delight our clients. And so those are those four pillars that guide us in hiring the right people, bringing on clients that want to work with a professional team that's built off of trust and integrity. And we've always kept the client first. So what I mean by that is, as we've grown, we haven't instilled minimums. We want to help people that want to be helped. And so it's really a client first centric business. And I think people can feel that. Like, people feel that energy in the walls when they walk into our offices, when they visit our website. I would say we don't look like a traditional financial services firm, which is me, which what I mean by that is all older white males. we're very different. We're very diverse. My company is built off of love, because I feel like that's who I am and the intention to serve people out there.
That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right. She's been voted one of the top financial advisors according to Barron's for a reason, darn gummit. That's right indeed. That's right indeed.
So they say.
That's right indeed, because she loves her clients and she's got wonderful, wonderful team members and employees that love her clients too. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So my goodness, since you're going on a book tour promoting the wonderful work that you're doing with your fabulous book, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
What's the hope of this book? What's the impact? I want people to not just be motivated, but I want people to be inspired to make a change or to take action as a result of reading this book. Because I think a lot of times we get excited to do something and then we have competing priorities in our life that allow those important goals that maybe you set as a result of reading this book to fall by the wayside. And so I think that, to me, I hope that people actually engage with the exercises in the book, because the back half of the book is the actual practical tools and steps. But the first part of the book is all about our mindset and the things that hold us back and things that are in our subconscious, possibly from early on experiences in life. And it's sometimes easy to breeze over those, like, oh, that's not me, I don't need to worry about that. But that's actually where the magic of the work is. If you're willing to, like, I call it mine the subconscious and figure out why you get triggered a certain way, or why you think a certain thing as, you know, why you take that as truth. And so it's like being able to question that. And so I have a process in the book that allows someone to go through that. But the hope is that they do that work that unleashes their possibility, because people can turn things around with their money very quickly. I mean, I have seen inside of a year, 18 months, people get out of debt, save for their future, and just have this whole like change in their money story that allows them to make progress quickly. So the hope is, whether they work with my company and our financial coaches, and we created a whole new financial planning membership program for this. So whether they do it with the accountability of my team or they do it on their own, it doesn't matter. It's like, I just want people to move forward in a different way and, you know, take the tools and actually create financial freedom and financial independence in their lives.
Woohoo! There you go. That's right indeed. Become your own version of Uncle Sam. She'll help you get your financial freedom, y'all. That's right indeed.
And here's the deal. Financial freedom can happen. I say this in the book. Financial freedom can happen in an instant. It is ours the moment we have a plan, the moment we start making intentional choices with our money and following that through. Because in the discipline just like in the discipline of being a follower of Christ, in the discipline of following your financial plan is where freedom is found. And so you don't need financial independence. You don't need all the money in the bank. You don't need to be debt free to have financial freedom.
Me like indeed, me like indeed. And she goes deeper into that, into the book. That's right, indeed, because it's good stuff, indeed, because she's so right. Yeah, because so many folks that hear financial freedom, it's like, oh yeah, like 20 million or $1 billion an island. It's like, nah, it ain't all that, buddy. It can still be in the dreams, but it ain't all that, buddy. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. I'm talking about, indeed. Well, fun question for you. If your fabulous book, your fabulous magical book, Money Loves You, transform your relationship with your money and grow your wealth, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
It would be sweet potato fries because they're my favorite.
Okay. There we go. First answer for this one.
Yeah, they're a little hot. They're a little spicy. And yeah. I think they're delicious. And I feel like this message in here is a little juicy and delicious.
Juicy and delicious is right. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Definitely one of the best finance books you're ever going to read. That's right, indeed. I didn't read 100 like Julia. Probably, I think I probably read maybe close to 20 so far off the top of my head. Definitely probably, let's say probably top three. Maybe top two. That's right, indeed. That's right,
indeed.
Yes, ma'am, indeed. Well, and speaking of top magical three, you're also a fellow podcast host. You got a new show called Financially Free with Julia M. Carlson. So, my goodness, so what are your top three magical lessons from starting, growing, and running your magical show thus far?
Ooh. So, for me, yeah, this has been a challenge because I haven't done interviews yet. I'm trying to think about, like, what's the future of the podcast. So they've been solo episodes, and it is hard to talk to yourself for 15 minutes. So I have been, that's actually been a fun journey to become a better speaker and to really think about what are the messages that I want to put out to the world. And so what I have found is it's fun to like brainstorm, and I just keep notes on my phone to come up with ideas. And then usually the day before I record, I'll just make notes and kind of an outline. I like to use kind of a nice outline. And then the day of, I'll actually record 4 episodes kind of back to back. For me, I go and change because it's on video and YouTube too. So I'll do different outfits, different hairdos, and but I'll record it. I'll batch record it, and then it's like I'll do that once a month. So, and I try to, they drop every Thursday. So it's been fun. It's been a learning curve, but the person that's helping me says, all right, you're getting better every time you do it. Every time you record, you're getting better.
That's right. She's getting better and not better, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So that right, folks. Embrace your magical wardrobe if you're doing a video podcast, y'all. That's right indeed. Get to pull out your whole closet and be like, yeah, different outfit. Then get to batch out these magical episodes and then have fun, y'all. That's right indeed. Fun on the bun. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. And the good news is it's a new show with, if I'm not mistaken, 13 episodes and counting. Yes, indeed. So she's growing and getting better and not buddy. Almost right indeed. Well, we're coming down to the magical question reserved for guests who make it back to round two. And that is if you were called to give the final keynote speech of your life. You get 90 minutes and your audience is all 8 billion people on Earth. We got a stadium in Texas and was able to fit all people in that one building. And the speech is going to be played for generations to come. What would be the main message you would love to share? What would the main points of that message entail?
Goodness. I don't remember being prepped for this question. You know what I think? I think that, so much of my journey has been trying to prove myself worthy, right? Like doing this and doing that and building the business. And it's, I think halfway point in life, I feel like I've figured out that it's not in the doing that where our worthiness is found. Our worthiness is innate, right? God loves us. We're all worthy. We all deserve abundance. So I think the message, which is a lot of the message in the book, is how we feel about ourselves and how we talk to ourselves, which is interesting because you'll talk to money a lot to how you'll talk about yourself to yourself. So it's like that inner developing the inner wealth is so much more important than the outer wealth. The outer wealth will be a byproduct of loving yourself and extending the same unconditional love that God gives us. How do you give that to yourself and to each other? So I think it would be a message around unconditional love and grace and forgiveness and all the things that I think that we can give others, but oftentimes the person that we most need to give it to is ourselves.
Ooh, mic drop, babies, right indeed. Right indeed. Developing that inner wealth, indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right. Financial freedom is freaking fabulous, but hey, inner freedom is even better. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right. For the folks out there who know what the meaning of redemption is, but what a price, it's even better than all of that combined, indeed. That's right. Indeed. So you're the right folks. Develop that inner wealth, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Well, the good news is we only barely scratched the surface of what the wonderful Julian knows. He probably only got, I don't know, 1.5%. So for those who need to dive into the other wonderful 98.5% of what the wonderful Julian knows and cop some copies of your magical book, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Sure. Well, the book is live on Amazon. So make sure it is Money Loves You, Julia Carlson. And also in my book, there are a ton of free resources. So if you are reading the book and you want to learn more, you can go for a deeper dive on my website, juliamcarlson.com. And there's a author book page, and in there you'll be able to see the link to get your free downloads, also to take your money identity quiz that's in my book. All sorts of goodies will be there for you to explore.
Woohoo! Move over door. It's now you, the explorer, y'all. That's right indeed, because money loves you indeed. So we're going to
Yes.
put a link to Julia's goods in the show notes, because a middle name for this occasion is magic, because she's going to help you to have some magic with your magical finances, y'all. That's right indeed. You'll probably be able to pull a rabbit out your wallet after reading this magical book, y'all. That's right.
That's funny.
Yep, and it pictured in my mind as soon as I said it. I'm like, you know what? That'd be a great party trick. Be like, yep, here's a rabbit, y'all. Like, how'd it fit in your wallet, bro? Ain't that cruelty? Nah, man, money loves you. What? And then they pull out a book next, be like, yep, here you go, buddy. Yep, it's a rabbit in a book. Go ahead and hop to it and read it, buddy. It's good stuff. Well, before another rabbit hole appears. Any parting words before we close up shop?
You're funny. Oh man. Well, I just encourage you to go get the book. I would love your insights and feedback and of course an Amazon review as that's like the best gift you can give an author. And believe that money loves you and watch what happens.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three, and be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.